The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
And welcome back to Bob Burney Live on this Friday. I guess it's evening. When does afternoon end and the evening begin? And does the time change? And anyway... It's about 5, well, it's close to 5:36, 36 minutes after the top of the hour. And I welcome you. Hey, just a quick closed circuit for our Washington, D.C. listeners. WAVA would like your feedback. What do you like about WAVA? What would you change other than guest host from Columbus, Ohio? What do you like about WAVA? What would you change? Well, listen, go to WAVA.com and click on the survey display. Someone will win $500 just for completing the survey. That's for those of you listening on WAVA. No, my listeners in Ohio. No. Take the survey today at WAVA.com. What a difference between the way the press treats Joe Biden and the way they treated Donald Trump. I mean, almost daily, it is so obvious. Do you remember? Donald Trump is putting kids in cages. They're putting children in cages down at the border. It's inhumane. It's terrible. It's evil. It's awful. And then there were the pictures of the cages. Oops. Those were enclosures built by the Obama administration. No, Trump didn't build them. Obama did. It wasn't Trump. Did Trump use them for a time? Yes, because they were necessary. And over a year ago, the Trump administration shut them down. Didn't need them anymore. The number of illegals coming across the southern border had dropped dramatically. Yes, the border wall and the immigration policy of the Trump administration was actually working. And so they didn't need the cages. Now, they didn't call them cages under the Obama administration. They just called them cages for Trump. Okay? Well, guess what? Trump closed them down. Biden is opening them again. But you will never see anybody in the mainstream media call them cages while Biden is using them. They are facilities for migrant children. Oh, facilities caring for migrant children. Here is a headline today. In fact, the dateline is 3:10 p.m. today, Eastern Time, Friday, March 5th. Headline, Biden administration tells facilities for migrant children to reopen. Yeah, reopen. If Trump was in office, CNN would say, Trump is putting kids in cages again. No, not with Biden. I'm quoting. Here is the story from CNN. The Biden administration has notified facilities caring for migrant children that they can open back up to pre-COVID-19 levels, acknowledging extraordinary circumstances due to a rising number of minors crossing the U.S.-Mexico border, according to a memo obtained by CNN. Now, I've read the entire article. It's 4 pages long. Not once does CNN discuss why are there more kids coming across the border? Why are these extraordinary circumstances? What has led to this enormous surge of people coming across our southern border? No, they don't deal with that at all. They do say, however, quote, the increase in arrivals, which you love that, the increase in arrivals. That's what you call people when they're coming into the airport. The arrivals. The increase in arrivals of unaccompanied children put additional strain on the immigration system, which was operating under limited capacity as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. Well, most of the coronavirus pandemic was under Trump. And Trump closed these facilities because they weren't needed. But all of a sudden, and by the way, the COVID pandemic is going down. It's receding. Right? So the biggest crisis was when Trump was in office. Trump was able to stem the flow of illegal immigrants and was able to close these facilities for kids. Quote, we recognize the challenge of having these unaccompanied children come across the border and the influx that we're certainly preparing for and preparing to approach. Why? Because everybody knows it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Again, quoting, a separate document prepared by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention calls the situation an extraordinary circumstance and says facilities should plan for and expect to have COVID-19 cases. So not only are they admitting there is this huge surge since Biden became president, not only is there, pardon me, not only is there a huge surge, some of them, maybe many of them, will have COVID-19. CNN reported this week, children were staying in Border Patrol. Listen to this. Again, quoting from CNN. CNN reported this week, children were staying in Border Patrol custody for longer than 3 days on average, overwhelming capacity at border facilities. The average time in Border Patrol facilities, which are not designed to hold children, was 77 hours. Longer than the 72 permitted under U.S. law. So, in other words, they're violating the law. They're putting kids in places that are not designed to hold kids. Isn't that what I just read? They are not designed to hold children. And they're being held longer than the law allows. So we've got kids in facilities that are not designed to handle kids, and they're doing it in an illegal manner. But the door has been thrown open by the Biden administration. Y'all come. Hey, come on. Come on in. This is America. And here's the bottom line, folks. All right, I was being cynical and sarcastic. And I think rightfully so. I don't apologize for that. But here's the bottom line. Who's going to suffer? It's these kids. there is this influx of unaccompanied children, children coming without parents, without guardians, without supervision. They're flooding across our southern border. Why? The immigration policies of the Biden administration. And who's going to suffer? It's these kids. But the news media is saying, oh, we're being compassionate. No, this is not compassionate. And it's sad for these children.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
My regular listeners know that we talk quite a bit about racial issues on this program because I'm very concerned about race relations. As a Christian, as a minister of the gospel, as a pastor, I believe with all my heart that the ground is level at the cross. Jesus died for all people. The cross is the great equalizer. Everyone comes to the cross the same. You don't come to the cross in a different way as a white person than you would as a black person. You come as sinners. Your skin color means nothing. It's your sin that separates you from God, and you are a lost, fallen sinner in desperate need of repentance, regardless of the color of your skin, your race, your ethnic background, your educational background, your economic background. That's one of the reasons why I love Romans chapters 1, 2, and 3 in the New Testament. Romans chapters 1, 2, and 3, Paul systematically deals with all kinds of people. The Jew, the Gentile, the educated, the uneducated, the rich, the poor, the pagan, the religious. He deals with every kind of person imaginable, and then he comes to this conclusion. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. There are forces, there have always been forces trying to divide us, but I don't know that I've ever seen forces so powerful in America attempting to divide us all in the name of unity. It's, you know, when you're dealing with the liberal left, you whatever they say, you can expect the opposite. The liberal left is constantly talking about love, inclusion, unity, and they practice it the least. The liberal left does not believe in real inclusion unless you are willing to walk lockstep with them. If you disagree on anything, you're dead meat. So I say it all the time. I will stand with almost anyone and any organization that is truly working to deal with race relations, equality, and so forth. But I will stand against almost anyone or any organization that is trying to divide us, especially if they are saying they're trying to unite us and actually trying to divide us. Why did I go through all of that? How old can a person be before they become a racist? How old? Well, according to the state of Arizona, 3 months. This is bizarre, folks. This is just crazy. Quote, the Arizona Department of Education has created an equity toolkit designed to teach critical race theory to children, offering a number of recommended readings on the topic. The toolkit claims, I'm quoting, babies show the first signs of racism at 3 months old, and that white children remain strongly biased in favor of whiteness by age 5. The toolkit teaches, among other things, that babies start to become racist at just 3 months of age. The toolkit insists that babies must be spoken to about race as letting children draw their own conclusions based on what they see leads to racism. In other words, you cannot teach your children to think critically. They cannot draw their own conclusions based on what they see. You, if you're a parent and you're white and your children are white, you must assume that your little white baby is already a racist. And so therefore, you've got to teach them not to be a racist. It suggests that white children specifically are strongly biased in favor of their own race by the time they're 5 years old. But that phenomenon does not exist among black and Latinx children. To solve the problem, the toolkit advises parents to begin speaking to their children about race, I'm quoting from the Arizona Department of Education toolkit. Parents need to begin speaking to their children about race even before their children can speak. At a very early age, parents need to take a, quote, proactive approach to teaching white students, I'm quoting, teaching white students about race and racial identity, and that race is an essential part of one's identity. That's CRT, critical race theory. That teaches if you're black, you are the oppressed. No matter where you're at in life, no matter what you've accomplished, no matter what your economic or educational level, you could have a PhD from Harvard and be a multimillionaire, but if you are black, you are oppressed. However, if you're white, you could be poor living in a shack in Appalachia, and you are the oppressor. Martin Luther King Jr. stated on so many occasions so eloquently, we got to get to the place where we don't judge people by the color of their skin, but by their character. Whole lot of people trying to erase that legacy and put us in the opposite direction. Don't you allow it. Don't you allow it. Folks, have a good weekend. Be in a good Bible-believing church. But please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.